chapter 4, and we'll be moving on next Sunday. Let's keep on going in order here with Colossians. So Colossians will be next Sunday. Finish up in Philippians. So again, Paul, this is written. Paul is in prison there, written about 60, 62 AD, right in that area. He's in Rome, writing to the, he wrote four letters out of prison. This is one of them. And Philippi, one of the great things that you see, one of the things that gets hit on a lot is the theme of joy or rejoice. And one thing I like to see, I notice in here too, is how helpful the church at Philippi was to Paul back when he was in the ministry in this area, Macedonia, Achaia, in that area. And so this church here really helped out Paul financially more than any other church had. And so if you want to cross-reference, Acts 16 is where Philippi is started, about 50-52 AD, right in that area. So the church has had 10 years to grow and to lead others to Christ. They're established, they're doing well. They're kind of hung up on a few things, as we saw, but nothing too major. Paul really enjoys praying for this church, and when he does mention this church, it's with joy in his heart when he goes to God in prayer for them. And we'll look at that stuff already. And we'll start here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Again, another theme that we see. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Regarding this, you did care, but you lack opportunity. I do not speak because I have need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. We'll stop right there. So over time, Paul, again, as he's been traveling, this group has helped him time and time again financially. There are times when their heart was there. They had, wanted to do things for Paul, but just where Paul was at, what they were going through, weren't able to. But you notice the great relationship that Paul and with the believers at Philippi have. Again, very humble beginnings. Only a handful of people were born again, received Christ in Acts 16. And they had, it started out as hard times. This is one of the churches that was started where they actually got put in prison. Paul and Silas were beaten with rods and put in the innermost part of prison. So many times, sometimes when we have negative experiences or circumstances, sometimes we can overlook the great things that happen during those tough times. Paul isn't thinking about, man, when I remember Philippi, I just remember being beaten and put in prison, and man, that was rough. He's not focusing on that. He focuses on what great things the Lord had used him to do while he was there. That's very humbling, isn't it? Very humbling. Verse 11, I do not speak because I have need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That content there in the Greek means self-sufficient. Okay? Self-sufficient. So whatever I have already, I'm good to go. Right? I'm self-sufficient. So I'm not looking for anybody to help me. I'm not relying on other things to come my way to get things done that I have to get done. It's a very awesome mindset, something that can get kind of overlooked in today's day and age. Many times people look at when they offer something, sometimes they default on, well, I don't have this to offer. I don't have what you're wanting, instead of, well, what do I have to offer? What do I have to offer? What can I give? Right? What can I give? And I think that, well, I don't want to get too in-depth on this. How do I be politically correct here? Well-meaning people. Off to a good start. Well-meaning people want to help those who aren't necessarily in need, but are needy. And they're not relying on the Lord or being self-sufficient. I'm okay with what I have, right? You know that low income in America today is a cell phone, a house that has air conditioning, internet, satellite TV, do I need to go on, a car with a car payment? That's low income in America. I wonder what low income is in the Bible.
I got fed a week ago.
What's that?
I got fed a week ago.
I got fed a week ago, exactly. Good job, Dave, exactly. And we'll get to that here in a second. But exactly what Paul is going to mention here. So it's interesting, the mindset of the culture of the Bible, and a lot of times we want to, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but apply certain verses of Scripture that we have to apply them correctly, right? And so sometimes we can get frustrated at God or the Bible when God or what the Bible says isn't our frustration. We're not understanding who the audience is and what Paul is saying to the audience he's writing to with what he's going through, right? All right, let's look on down here. Let's get going. He says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content, self-sufficient. Verse 12, I know both how to face humble circumstances and how to have abundance. So again, this is Paul, who by every right, you know, is an apostle, could have everything given to him. He could say, I'm an apostle, I have royalty, God told me the mysteries. God told me how a Jew and Gentile are one. God told me how Christ is the head of the church and now we're one in Christ, all those things. But he doesn't. He says, I learned how to face humble circumstances, right? And how to have abundance. Everywhere and in all things I have learned the secret. What's the secret? We'll get to that in a second. Both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here's the secret to him having tough circumstances, him needing things, him being tired, hungry, all those things. I can do all things because of Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you don't have anything. Let's make sure we have the context correct. Paul is saying this about himself with what he's going through. Now, don't put it on a bumper sticker, right, and say, why did you all things? What context? Maybe God is allowing things to happen to you, not authoring them, but allowing things for you to go through them to experience something, correct? To experience something. So, trying to do a decent job comparing this to nowadays. If you don't have a job or any kind of state income or any kind of benefits, and you don't know, like Dave said, when your next meal is going to be, then maybe you can understand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe somebody in Africa can understand what's going through. Maybe someone that John and Jan visited a couple months ago, they can understand what this verse means. But you saying this, when your alternator breaks down or your car breaks down, don't use this verse, please. Don't use this verse. When you lose your job, don't use this verse. Okay? When you're reaping what you sow, it's your fault, don't use this verse. Okay? When Paul has nothing, going through hard times, because he's doing good and righteous things, he can say, I don't need your love offering to survive. I'm thankful for it, but I don't need it because I have learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret. That makes sense what I'm saying? Sometimes people can get upset and start throwing out Bible verses, and it's like, well, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to let go, let God. I can't stand that phrase, so please don't say it around me. Okay? Please don't say it around me. I don't like that. What does it even mean, right? Let go and let God. In what way? Right? I like things in context. Now, if you don't have anything, and with having nothing, you can say, you know what? I have learned I can do all things and crush things with me. There are people that we know that could probably say this. There may have been a time where you could have said this. I have nothing. No food, no nothing, don't know how we're going to survive, right? This group could have had that. And that's when you can experience it, right? Now you know the depths and the beautifulness that this verse has. Not some cliche saying thrown out there when you don't get what you want. Things don't work out the way that you would plan them to or want them to. And you can say, well, Philippians 4:13, dude. No, that's not how it works. Let's give some respect to what some of these verses are saying and claim them at that time. I'm a little bit more harsher than probably God is, right? If someone were to say this in ignorance, I'm sure God would give them comfort. I'm sure God would encourage them, right? I'm sure God would do that. There are times when people need training wheels in their Christian life, right? Look at the Corinthian church. There were things that God told them to do that he didn't tell any other church to do. Why? Because they weren't there yet. Right? They need some help getting there. So if someone's reading who is ignorant, who loves the Lord, trying to do right, he says, man, Philippians 4:13, and they use it out of context, I don't think God in their circumstances is going to go, nope, can't have that. But as we mature, as we start understanding more and more, let's look at things more and who is saying it to what group at what time with what they're going through. That's how we learn our Bible. That's how we learn. People are biblically illiterate because they're trying to memorize verses and not what the story is saying. Don't memorize anything. Don't memorize. Don't try to memorize anything. Just read to know the Lord and on what he told these people at this time and understand the scene that's happening. As a byproduct, you'll understand what's happening. It's really, really cool. It's awesome. Bible verse on my own? 14. Nevertheless, you did well in having shared in my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that from the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving except you alone. Even at Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that accumulates to your account. This is awesome. This is a principle that we get, right? We take on a missionary or some other church or preacher that's doing work, right? We're not there. We can financially help them, right? Do the work for the Lord there with where they're at, and that fruit will go on our account. I believe that principle applies today. I really do. Philippians are giving to Paul, so Paul is financially able to go around to different cities and towns and preach the gospel and help people. I guarantee Paul didn't keep any money to himself. He's using it to help others around him. And because of that, people are being saved, lives are being changed, and the church is being built. And the Philippians had a part in doing that. They're not one-track minded. This is a church that is very, very poor. They're not thinking, we don't have to give. They're thinking, I might not have much, but here's what I want to give because this is how much salvation means to me. I got brought up in the first service on, what did I say? Here it is. You can give without loving. But when you love, you can't help but give. Something to that effect. These people love the Lord, and they're thinking, we want others to have and to hear what we have and what we've heard. How can we help? What can we do? That's what we do here. We do the same thing here. It is so nice. I can't tell you guys how much this means to me that we have this mindset. As a whole, we don't look at what we don't have. We look at what we do have. We look at how can I help with even something as simple as making a meal, right? People are signing up or saying, I'm not looking at what I don't have. How can I help? What can I do? Well, potlucks. If something as simple as a potluck, no, you went, you spent or made something, that means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. If someone's going to go out of their way to provide something, they don't have to. I love that. That's really, really cool. Great mindset these Philippians have. He's not wanting money or a gift, but he's desiring fruit that comes to their account. Verse 18, but I have everything and abound. This is talking about a guy who's in prison, who physically probably doesn't have anything to close on his back. And he knows how great those are. I have everything and abound. I have been filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, like a sweet fragrance, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So they did give him another gift. He's saying, hey, I'm thankful you guys did that. God is thankful that you did that. Okay? To help Paul and get the gospel out there in Rome. It was awesome. And he's saying, verse 19, but my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul isn't saying, hey, I'll pay you back. Here's what I'll do for you. He's going above that, saying, listen, since your heart is right in doing this for me, with where I'm at to have the gospel spread here, God is going to bless you, mainly spiritually. Right? We're not promised physical blessings like the Jews were. We're not promised to have a meal every day. We're not promised to have the clothes on our backs. If that were true, then born-again believers would not starve to death. Right? But they do, don't they? Jews had some promises that were physical. One of them was, if a Jew served and loved God, they were provided for physically. Now that the law has been fulfilled through Christ, moving forward, we are not promised those things. But Paul is saying, my God shall supply all your needs. He just gave the example of what needs Paul has been met, that have been met for Paul. You know what I'm saying, right? Nothing physical. Spiritual. The secret is, I have learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret that Paul has. When he has nothing, hungry, in prison, being beaten, right? Being robbed of his own countrymen. Fill in the blank of, I think it's 2 Corinthians 9. Going through a tough time, right? He is saying, through all that, here's the secret. He spells it out. So God isn't going to necessarily provide financially for the Philippians, but it will be to the riches according to Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those who are of Caesar's household, which are believers there in Rome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, we spent a handful of weeks going through Philippians. And through this handful of weeks, a handful of things were repeated constantly. But one of the things I want you guys to take away from this, as we're going through Paul's letters in chronological order, look at some themes that Paul is teaching, right? And stay focused on the context. What group is Paul talking to, and what are they going through? Right? That's how you'll learn your Bible. What are they going through at their time back then, and what does Paul tell them? Then, after you do that, then go and say, can I apply this? What does this mean for me? Because a lot of things in the Bible are just written for your learning. And that's not bad. A lot of things in the Bible, you can't say, this is for me. All the Bible is not for you to do today. Right? But you can learn. You can learn and see how God provides for mankind throughout time. You can see how great and wonderful and merciful and gracious God is throughout time. You can see how God's done everything throughout time. You can see a lot of great things about who God is and what he does and why he does it to that group at that time. Then you can go, what's written for me in my time? What can I apply? What can I live by? It's really, really neat to see that. So Philippians coming to an end. Paul wrote a handful of letters from prison. The common theme we see there at Philippi is rejoicing or joy. They had done well by helping Paul out, giving him financial need. Okay? The church of Philippi is going through a tough time with persecution, but it's not hindering their walk. We can apply it to our life. If I'm being persecuted for who I believe in, I can have joy and get comfort no matter what comes my way. And to help out people who are going through tough times. And I can also take this, have my mind focused on what's just, pure, righteous, holy, right? And the peace of God will pass all understanding. I think that's true for us today as well. What my heart, your heart's here. Your heart physically is pumping here, but your heart is here. What I'm focused on, what I think about, what's driving me is your heart. What am I living for? That's your heart. When I understand that, where my heart is, I can start seeing how God surpasses all understanding to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Thankful for finishing up the book of Philippians. Lord, allow us to take the truths that we've learned from Philippi and just learn what that group was going through and how you provided for them, how you encouraged them and met their needs, the things that you instructed them in to do, Lord, the things that you were grateful for that they were already doing. And Lord, those that can apply to our lives, I ask that you would allow it to sink deep into our hearts and minds, that it would change us to become more like Christ, that you would receive all the praise and the honor and glory for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.